Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. You can check out all of his coverage of the Celtics at Justin M. Turpin, all over WEEI as well. Last night, Terp getting a little life lesson from Joe Mazzulla last night, right?
Occam's razor.
Yeah. Occam's razor is something you were unfamiliar with.
Before your time. With it. Yeah. Before your time, Occam's razor.
Before all of our times, I think.
Yeah.
Going back
to the time of Occam.
A long, long way. Exactly. Occam came up with it many, many moons ago. But what is your understanding now of, well, how did this come about and what's your understanding now of Occam's razor?
Well, it's as simple as the simplest explanation is the answer. And that's what it was for the Celtics in the second half. Because I asked him, Joe Mazzulla, specifically about the margins, because the Celtics were absolutely destroyed on the margin of the first half. And somehow were only trailing by two. And they completely turned that around in the second half. And I asked him kind of what went into that. And he said it was the turnovers. And that's what Occam's razor.
Hence,
good little
yada, 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 Occam's razor.
Yeah. Ipso facto.
Ipso facto. We learned
Occam's
on.
Razor.
Occam's razor.
So the simplest explanation is the right one, yes.
Yeah. Have you seen anything like it, though, with this Celtics team attempting six threes and missing all of them in one half?
No, not in the Joe Mazzulla era. I think it hadn't happened since 2021.
Right.
And that's kind of the biggest takeaway, I think, looking at this, is how well Orlando limited the threes. And I think people are going to look at what they did and see if other teams can replicate it. But I just don't think they can, because it's more of a personnel thing with Orlando. The way Orlando was able to let them play one-on-one and was able to switch, other teams really don't have the luxury of doing that.
Well, some teams can.
Some
right?
teams, like, Oklahoma City.
I was going to say, New York can't. Who can?
Oklahoma City. But
that's
Oklahoma
it?
City is also okay with the Celtics shooting threes. They've been okay with them shooting threes.
Yeah, they
this
can
season.
Just play. That's the only team that can probably just play it straight up
right.
and still win.
Well, no one else in the league has the personnel.
In the
to do
Eastern
it.
Conference,
no,
in
no,
the Eastern
no
Conference
one,
right now.
No. One else in the
there
NBA.
Are, there
has,
are, there are, but of teams that the Celtics are going to see in the postseason, I don't think any of them can.
Yeah, Knicks or Pistons. So we'll start there. Like Knicks or Pistons.
No,
because as long as Carl Anthony Towns is on the floor, they have someone to attack. Same thing with Cleveland. Darius Garland.
Even like Brunson.
Could
like
Indy?
Brunson,
yeah.
Right?
Could Indy?
I don't think Indiana could either. I mean, they had this pretty much
I don't
the
think
same
Indy's
going to
get there, but could
year.
Indy? No.
No.
Could a team like...
It's more their offense with
could
Indy.
A team like Golden State? Could a team like Minnesota?
No. No, I really don't think so.
Okay, so,
all
just,
of them
so
have,
just OKC. All right.
All of them have weak links on the defensive end. Like, you need to be a very well-rounded defense to do that. You have to have guys that can defend. Like, everyone on the floor has to be able to defend. And that's really not the case in most NBA teams. Like, that's just the reality of it. And that's why Orlando was so good this year, taking away the three-pointers. And it wasn't even this series. Like, they did it all year to every team in the league. They allowed the fewest three-pointers, and they did it at the fewest clip as well. So, I mean, they have so much talent on that end that it is kind of unique.
What's the health status right now? So, obviously, Jrue Holiday's missed three games. Tatum missed game two. Jaylen Brown's been on the injury report the whole time. We were both talking about Porzingis and his minutes and Derek White getting bopped in the head. So, like, what is the status right now for all these guys?
I mean, right now, I think the only one to be concerned about is Jrue Holiday.
Okay.
And we haven't seen him warm up. He wasn't on the floor at shoot-arounds in game three or four. He hadn't warmed up before the game in any of these games. In the last two, he was ruled out the day before the game, which is really never a good sign. But maybe it is something that they understand that he went through a long season, obviously went through the Olympics, played up until the NBA Finals last year, and he's 34, so maybe they're looking at that a little bit, and they don't want to push it. Also, hamstrings are really tricky.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of step in this equation. But you're looking at Jason Tatum. It's hard to be concerned about him coming off the wrist injury.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 35 in three straight games, the only other player to do that in Celtics history is Larry Bird. So he's doing all right, and Jaylen Brown as well. I was actually looking at this last night. Jaylen Brown has had two double-doubles this series. That ties his career high for an entire postseason run. Like, that's... Mm. So he's playing pretty well, all things considered, with the knee injury. Obviously, it doesn't look pretty at times, like when you see him come down wincing.
So he had a double-double game two. What was the other one?
Game four.
Okay, because as I said, the game without Tatum, they obviously needed more out of him. They got it. So the other one was game four.
Game four.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so that's two double-doubles is in one series, and he's doing a little bit of everything. And obviously, again, it's not going to look pretty all the time when he's coming down wincing and stuff, but he's been very open that this is something he's just going to have to deal with. So I think come maybe even next week, like when we're just still talking about Jaylen's knee, it's going to grow tiresome, but it's something they are going to have to deal with the entire postseason run.
So for me, the Celtics in the second half last night, that's more of what I expected this series to look like. I was wrong. Terp, you thought it would take five. You thought it would be ugly. You were right, which is why we have
Thank
you in
you.
Every week. So, but last night is what I expected it to look like. I will say this. if the Celtics just shot like that all series and swept the Magic and won going away, I would look at it and say, that's what I expected, but I learned nothing because I expected that. And the Celtics just came in and rained threes and they beat a team they're head and shoulders better than. I wouldn't have learned anything. I think we may have learned a little something about the Celtics in this series. Do you think they're better off for going through the physicality of the Magic, the way the Magic played, the way the Magic made them play different? Do you think they're better for it?
Without a doubt. And I don't think it's necessarily the physicality part. I think that's a big part of it because they're not going to see a team that's as physical as Orlando was until possibly Oklahoma City. I don't think the physicality thing was that big of a deal because I don't think they necessarily needed that wake-up call in the postseason, right? Like, I think if they played a team like Atlanta, they would have been ready to go as well just because they understand what it takes. They were there. They reached the mountaintop last year. So I don't think they necessarily needed the wake-up call. But in terms of handling that physicality and finding different ways to win, obviously you mentioned the three-point shooting. Like, that has been their bread and butter. That has been their DNA. And it's not usually the three-point shooting. It's just finding the best shot. But they took that away, and they still were able to find ways to win against a very good defense, against a really physical team. So they're definitely better off for this. Maybe not on the bumps and bruises. You don't really want that in game in the first round series. But what they learned there and being forced out of their comfort zone and having to win in different ways will absolutely benefit them down the line.
What did you think of Porzingis in this series? Obviously, at that signature moment where he gets elbowed in the head, he's bleeding everywhere, he's going crazy with the fans, and like that was like a signature moment. However, I don't know. Like, he played less minutes than all the other starters. He had a couple of games where he scored a little bit, more games where he didn't. What's your overall take? He did play in every game, so like that's sort of one check mark you can have.
Getting out healthy in that series,
right?
Is a big
deal. He played the whole series, and he's healthy going into the next one. But overall, on the court, what'd you see?
He was affected the most by the physicality, without a doubt. That was just not a good matchup for him. And there was also times where he was just missing shots that he usually makes. Like, he had Cole Anthony right.
I was
in
just
the block
gonna say
a couple
this.
Times.
He's one on one with Cole
him.
Anthony and couldn't hit
a
the
couple
short
times.
Jumper.
Like, they're rimming
yeah.
out. That
little,
happened like
little itty bitty Cole Anthony.
Quite a few times that happened. But I mean, he looked good in game four. He shot like 50% from three and from field. So he looked pretty good in game four. It's just, this was not his type of matchup. Like, I think we knew the physicality isn't really his thing. He can do it. But against a team like that, I think he was kind of pushed off his game, made uncomfortable, and he was most impacted by it.
What was Tatum's best game in the series?
You got to go with last night, I think.
I mean,
or game four, the way he played down the stretch, so single-handedly outscoring them. Yeah, over that final four.
I think it was last night.
It was, so I also think it was last night.
It was last
game four, he didn't shoot well. It was almost all free throws.
Just taking over, though.
No, he did. But to me, last night, I know people think I'm critical of Tatum. You're probably in this group too, Terp. And I have been critical of Tatum, but I think a lot of him. And I know he's capable of stuff like what he did last night. He kept them in the game when the team could not shoot, could not score, couldn't do anything. He kept them in the game early. He had the big dunk before halftime, which helped turn the momentum along with the brainless coach on the other side, which we can get to. But he also helped open up the floodgates and kick the team into overdrive in the second half. And he shot well. And I think he showed a little bit of toughness in this series, which I don't always think he shows. So to me, last night was great. And these last three games since the wrist injury, I was pretty happy with the performance out of Tatum. When we're critical of him not shooting well and scoring 18, 22 in a playoff game, even when he's contributing rebounds and assists, this is why we're critical of that, because we know he's capable of stuff like this.
And this is what we've been talking about really throughout the year. Like, if he's going to win MVP, it's this Jason Tatum that's going to do it. The one that's being aggressive, that's getting downhill, that's creating for others. I mean, he had a ton of assists last night. I mean, when he gets those assist numbers up, that's what's been holding him back, in my opinion, is that he hasn't had these assist numbers up. That's what's kind of been preventing him from being in serious MVP conversations. If he can do that and he can look like this, which he has shown he can, specifically since the All-Star break, he's really looked like this often since the All-Star break. This is when he breaks through and wins an MVP. This is the best Jason Tatum we've seen, and he's doing it on both ends of the floor. Like, he was terrific defensively in this series as well. So this could be a really special run for Tatum when you're looking at the potential opponents they can see. I mean, he has destroyed New York this year.
Yeah.
They've had no answer for
They've
him.
All destroyed New York. That's the thing, is like, Orlando, New York's better than Orlando, but matchup wise, New York might be less challenging
they are
than the Magic.
Definitely, without a doubt, yeah. I think a better matchup for Boston than Orlando is. Like, they just have no answers.
Like, I would
for
expect Porzingis to play a lot better.
Much better.
To your point about the physicality and just that style. And pretty much every, like, Tatum, Brown, like, all of them to play better.
Yeah, through the first three games, the Knicks led for like 45 seconds. Like, they just, there's such a disparity between the two.
I thought they found out a little. I'm not predicting the Knicks to win. I like them in the offseason. I thought they were the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East. Wrong. But the last game, and maybe I'm putting too much stock in it, I thought Towns kind of abused Tatum defensively, meaning Tatum as a defender, and I thought they kind of changed some stuff that helped make that game competitive. Tatum hit a big shot to force overtime. They won an OT. So I'm curious if that rears up in this series, but largely I agree with you on New York. On Tatum, you've heard Keefe's strong take. I don't want to call it a hot take, but strong take on Missoula and being on the hot seat after calling out Tatum. You heard this?
I haven't.
You want to give him your take?
Well, basically, he needs to be careful because the only way for Missoula to, you know, lose his job would be for the star player to not be happy with him. And if he's calling him out, and I, you know, we talked about it in those 2 days after, you know, Tatum went down, was holding his wrist, Joe Mazzulla was yelling at him and whatever. But then a couple games later, Tatum brought it up unprovoked. Like, he was asked about his wrist, but he wasn't asked specifically about Joe. And he's like, well, it hurt more than coach thought it did. And what did Joe say? Get up or whatever?
Like, he wanted me to get up.
Two different answers. He was referencing that. So I know everybody's like, oh, these guys have a good relationship. But I don't know. I feel like the fact that he brought it up has to be at least on Tatum's mind a little bit. It has to bother him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely bothered him.
Yeah.
But I also think it sounds kind of weird, but like I think Joe does get like leeway with them for that. Like, I think they've come to understand that that's just the way he is. That's the way he coaches. Yeah. I actually did a feature on this last year for WEI.com where I talked to a bunch of the players and asked them like what makes Joe so different. Specifically, Drew Holiday and Al Horford stuck out to me when discussing it with them, just because they've played for so many different coaches and they're like, we haven't seen anything like this. Like, it's fun, it's unique. Like, they're calling him like a psycho and stuff. Like, they've just learned to understand this. And I think Jason Tatum has like just the utmost respect for Joe Mazzulla. There was actually a feature the other day, I forget the outlet that published it, but Jason called him the best coach in the NBA. And even though Joe won't admit it, he feels that way. So them two get along great. Like, I don't think there's any problem with that. And I think they've just come to understand that that's part of the gimmick that comes with Joe. Like, that's just the way he is. Yeah. Like, we're just kind of going to deal with it.
Beginning of the end, maybe, for Mazzulla. You never know. Tatum. Every relationship that goes south, it's got to start somewhere.
Put on the list.
Yeah, add that to the list. There's no doubt about it. What did you think of Jamal Mosley sticking with Bancaro last night in the third quarter?
He should have went to him way earlier. I think he should have went to him earlier.
Wait.
With the five fouls.
I wasn't even talking about that. So you think once he had the five fouls, he should have put him back in?
When the Celtics were on that big run at the end of the third quarter, you can feel that game getting away. He should have went to him.
It was already over because he screwed it up. When he gets his fourth foul, you sit him down.
You got to sit him. Yeah.
I'm okay with an early third foul. That's not really even foul trouble in the second half. I'm totally okay with that. When he got his fourth in a quick window and Jalen's picking him out.
Less than 3 minutes.
Yeah. Get him out. Just sit him down. Just to cool down for a minute. Just sit him down. It's not like you can't go back to him again until the fourth quarter. But when he gets his fourth, you have to sit up. That's why that lost the magic the game. They might have lost either way. But once Bancaro got the fifth, they had no chance. They're already a two-player team. When you take one of those guys off the floor, they have no chance. Well, that was brainless.
Scal even brought it up. As soon as the Celtics got up by like 8 or 10, he's like, this is like a 40-point lead for other teams.
Right.
You know, like,
but you would have gone back when he had five fouls.
I would have. One of the things, and I guess it's a little bit different in this case, when coaches wait too long to put a player back in with five fouls, you're effectively fouling them out yourselves. Just let the officials do it at that point. Like, you're keeping a guy on the bench, and this is more so pertains like towards the fourth quarter. Like, I think like game three or game four with Porzingis. I think it was game four, with Joe kind of waited a long time to get him going. Like, you're effectively following the guy out yourself. Just let the officials do it. I think, like, you should go to them earlier than most coaches do. I think
Mosley,
it's a little bit different.
Mosley fouled his guy out last night. Right. I'm letting him stay
there. He should have taken him out when he got the fourth. I completely agree. That was way too early. And I don't think we were past even the 10-minute mark.
But then you have the Knicks last night where you got Jalen Brunson standing at the scorer's table for like 2 minutes. They're like, you got to stop the clock here. You got to get him in.
Call time out. Yeah.
The Pistons tried to give that game back also. Is there any chance that they pull off the series comeback, or are they just too clumsy late in games?
I think they're too clumsy and they're too young. I mean, it's remarkable what they've done. Like, they set an NBA record for most consecutive losses last year.
Oh, yeah, it was an unbelievable turnaround.
Now they're in the NBA playoffs.
They should have won all of these games so far against the Knicks, and they're down 3-1. 3-2.
And they've had double-digit leads in the fourth, but most of these games.
Yeah. Detroit should be up 5-0 going into game six. They should be.
It's ridiculous.
But if you're the Celtics, I think you're pretty happy with that.
Detroit would be
closer to like Orlando, I think, like the way just their physicality and the way they're going to muck up a game.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd much rather see New York.
You think, I don't know if you heard our commentary on this, you think Giannis is a loser? For the way he addressed Halliburton's father Halliburton's father is a clown.
Also a loser.
We're not debating that. So I guess I break with Shime on this. But Giannis's response after the game to be like, I've won. I know what it takes. You should win and be humble. You don't need to get in people's face about it. Coupled with him defending their early exit a few years ago. I know he's won a championship. I kind of think Giannis is a loser.
Yeah, he clings on to that championship, doesn't he?
Sure does.
I mean, that whole thing the other, or what was it, 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, when he was like, no season's a failure.
Yeah, they lost, that was when they lost to Miami.
Yeah, they lost in the first round.
As a one seed, and you're like.
In like five games.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they got a competitive series.
I will say, he should be very frustrated, though. He got no help. I mean, he got a little help last night from Gary Trent Jr., but like, there was no help throughout this entire series.
They hired Doc Rivers there. Like, what a disaster.
I meant to say this earlier. The reason he went on this like 3.5 minute answer, you can go seek out the full answer. We're not going to play it for you. But you can go seek out the full answer. He's talking about his mother and his father, and there's some nice moments in there in a big, giant, long loser answer. There's a couple of nice moments. But I think he's just deflecting because he knows he's out. Like, I think he's just deflecting and filibustering because he didn't want questions about his future in Milwaukee, which he shot down.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to talk about losing again.
You think he's somewhere else next year?
Yeah.
He's never committed
to Milwaukee.
Where's he
going? I don't know. I mean, good question. Where's he going? I don't know. Somewhere.
What would be the worst place for him to go for the if you're the Celtics?
Miami.
See, but they, like, what do they have left? Tyler Hero and
they're
going to
have
out of bio?
Big changes themselves. Yeah, this offseason. That team's going to look a lot different.
I just think I don't know. I wouldn't give Riley a player like that. That's all. Yeah, and like as much of a loser as I think Giannis
Milwaukee
is.
Milwaukee trade him in the East.
I don't know.
So he's good under question. I
that wasn't the question. The question was what would be the worst.
What
place
would be
for
the
him?
Worst place for him to go if you're the Celtics?
Yeah, Miami.
I don't know.
What would be what would be worse?
Philly.
Yeah,
Philly's
scare me. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, so he's under contract for 2 more years, and then has a player option for $66 million in 3 years. So it's like they don't have to trade him. But yeah, that could
his future's been murky. Yeah, for a while. Now,
I just think he was up to something else with that loser answer last night because he's probably about to flee Milwaukee.
Yeah,
force his way out.
Probably. What if he went to like the Pacers, and so you had him like with Halliburton? Like I think like that's what it would take. Like or like with Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. Like,
right,
you
but
need
he could
to put him somewhere.
But he
like
can
that.
Go to Miami, be there, and attract somebody else to go.
Oh, okay,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
so,
what
yeah,
I mean?
You got to. It would have to be him and somebody.
Yeah,
though,
I mean, I just think
kind of
part
scary.
Of a larger Pat Riley play. He's done it before. Like that would scare me. I mean, they'd need to get the other player. I get what you're saying, but that would scare me.
Because I wonder if he's at the point where he's still putting up incredible numbers and he's still first team All NBA. But does he need a better guy if he's ever going to win another title? Does he need another guy like better than him?
For sure.
Probably.
I mean, they tried to do that with Dame, and it just did not work out.
No.
I mean, looking back at that trade, you get
rough.
The Celtics, you get Drew Holiday. The Celtics get Drew Holiday out of that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the whole thing with firing Adrian Griffin, too, that entire season last year was just a disaster for Milwaukee, and it continued into this year.
I got to get my larynx fixed.
Oh, this is a good one. Giannis to the Celtics would be the worst. I heard
that would be the worst.
I heard Wiggy making this case. That would be the worst.
I don't want that.
How about Giannis and Durant somewhere? I don't think that team's winning anything.
I don't think they are. I mean, look at Durant. Seriously.
Two losers who have won.
Look at Durant with the
Suns. The long tease for Tier Tuesday.
Durant's run post-Warriors?
Uh-huh.
I mean.
Not great.
That's a good
look
documentary
short. Look at the teams
short.
He's had. I mean, in Brooklyn.
And the players. He's like, all his guys. Kyrie's playing with Harden. He's playing with Booker.
He's either glommed onto those teams or he's like handpicked them.
Right.
Like he handpicked.
Mostly handpicked.
What went on in Brooklyn. Yeah, exactly. Before we let you go, Terp, you came in real hot about 100 men, or one gorilla. What was your direct quote? I don't know if it's for air.
I
but
couldn't
what was
say
your
it on the air.
Direct quote,
what's
no.
your? Give me an approximation of your direct quote.
100 people would F up a gorilla.
That's not what you said.
You said I could
you
beat
said
a gorilla.
I said me, myself,
right,
and 100
you
people.
You said 100 terps.
Yeah,
no, that's not what you
all
came
right,
in through the door.
If I had 100 people.
100 terps versus one gorilla. You're taking 100 terps?
I don't know, because like 99.
I don't know. Now I'm not sure.
I mean, a bunch of those Terps would be looking at and being like, how dare you do that to Terp? That's me over there.
That's
you're doing
me.
That too.
Yeah, that'd be tough to reconcile.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
That gorilla is
I think you're completely underselling the gorillas.
I mean, they are terrifying creatures, but I 100, that's 100 people is a lot of people.
Could one of the 100 be Joel Prisbilla, the vanilla gorilla? You guys thought about that?
I hadn't. I really hadn't.
If he was one of the guys, that'd feel better.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, your logic
Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
You have to take Gorilla Monsoon and Joel Prisbilla.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. But you notice Terp has distanced himself a little bit from saying, hey, walk right in. And he's like,
oh, yeah. He's like, talking a big
F
talk.
That gorilla. Yeah, yeah,
big
yeah.
talk.
Yeah.
100 people's a lot of people.
Okay,
it's like one gorilla.
That's a good argument.
No, that's a lot of people. That's all the argument I need. 100 people?
This is not
one gorilla.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
look
right.
at that.
Oh, on Twitch and on YouTube, we have a picture of a gorilla with his mouth wide open. He could fit a whole human head in there.
One bite. And then we got 99 more. Yeah.
Sounds of Music in the Twitch chat says a gorilla could destroy 1,000 terps.
1,000 terps?
That's even more people.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're all terps.
That's 10 times the people. All right. Well, something to chew on.
All right. Pure Hoops and some other topics with Terp here on a Wednesday. Every Wednesday at high noon. Terp, we appreciate it. Keep up the strong coverage. You're going to be in New York, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
You were in Orlando.
Yeah,
you're
going
to be in New York.
We'll be.
Well, right. Or Detroit.
It'll be New York.
Or Detroit.
It will be New York.
Or Detroit. But stay tuned for all his coverage at Justin M. Turpin and all over WEEI on socials and on the website as well. Terp, thanks so much. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. Let's get back into Jason Tatum and his dominance last night. Isn't this the Tatum we're all asking for? We'll get to it right after trending.